So let me continue. I want to make that announcement again, too, that Eddie, during the second service, the 11 o'clock service, so when you leave here, there's a half an hour to fellowship, and then you can go to Classroom 2 and watch that video, because I know a lot of you have had a hard time with going to the internet on that. So he's going to be showing that, and you can watch that, and then he's going to do a little talking about the upcoming event. So keep that in your mind. And three things that we need to do. Do you remember what they are? Watch the video, fill out your list and pray for it, and then invite them on November 2nd or 3rd to the three services. Now, you know, we talk about this a lot, but I think it gets, there always is some kind of confusion. When we invite the people to come on November 2nd, the reason is November 2nd is that's our Saturday night service. November 3rd is our two Sunday services. All you're doing is inviting them to each one of the three of these services and sit with them, if there's enough room, okay? And they're going to watch the video. And so on our little things, we have My Hope America, Billy Graham, Harvest Fellowship invites you to one of the following showings. November 2nd is 6, November 3rd at 9:30, and November 3rd at 11. So that means you can bring them to church and then take them out. If it's the first service, you could take them out for brunch. If it's the second service, you could take them out for lunch and talk with them. And our prayer will be that they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Okay. All right. So let's just get on with our sermon. Last week, we identified a couple areas of evangelism, and I talked first of all about the spiritual gift of evangelism, and I had to laugh because Uncle Eddie was up here, and did you notice what his concern was? He has that roaring gift of evangelism, real strong gift, and he's worried about people's hearts, he's worried about eternity, right? And so that's what the people with the gift of evangelism have, and God has placed it in their heart to really be concerned for people's hearts. And so then we have the gift of the office of evangelist, like he has, where they train in evangelism and train people, not only the people that have a gift, but also train the rest of us who don't have a gift. And I thought, you know, maybe the best way I can illustrate this is myself. I do not necessarily have, I love evangelism, but I don't have the gift. People have to kind of knock on my walnut head to ask to get saved with me because my mind doesn't think that way. Discipleship, church, leadership, boy, I get that. I thought, you know, when I first went to my father-in-law, and he's sitting down here, when I first went to my father-in-law's church, every Tuesday night we got together and we went door-to-door in Commerce City to witness to people. And through that experience and through all my experience of being a pastor, I have had the privilege of leading hundreds and hundreds of people. I would hesitate, but I think I could say maybe 1,000 people that I've led to Jesus Christ on a personal basis. And I don't have the gift of evangelism, but I've been taught so well. I was taught by my father-in-law. I was taught by other people who knew how to share their faith, and I learned my testimony, and I did all that. And through that, we, like I mentioned last week, we even have a couple pastors in the Denver area that we met on evangelism on Tuesday going door-to-door. They are now in pastors at churches. So that's what the evangelist does. They teach us how to share our faith. And then the second thing that we talked about last week is that we want to identify our mission as a church, or we might even say our commission, which if you remember is co-mission. In other words, our mission together in evangelism as a church. So let's start with our verse for this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to do 18 and 19 this time, and I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the
yellow,
and how loud are you going to say it? Okay, loud. All right, good. All right. All right. For through him, we both have access
by one Spirit to the Father.
Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, and members of the household of God. Isn't that something? We're fellow citizens. I love that. We can plead with the Father because now we're not only his children, but we are citizens. Now, I want you to think about this. We have citizenship in heaven where Christ resides. All the angelic host lives. Jesus Christ sits on the throne, and we are already citizens of that country. We just happen to be foreigners and strangers on this earth. But we have become citizens of heaven, and I can't wait. You know, we were talking about it last night, and a lot of people were saying, I can't wait, I want to stay here and still minister and all that kind of thing. But one day, we're going to be in front of that throne, and we won't feel like we shouldn't be there. Do you realize that? Because we're citizens, and we belong there. We don't belong here. And the problem is, we think we belong here and not there. And the reverse is true. Okay. So anyhow, the beauty of this is that the unsaved person doesn't have that accessibility to God because they don't have a relationship except in one place. And that is they can call out on the name of the Lord and they can come to Jesus Christ in relationship, because you remember the verse, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, we talked last week about how in the world are they going to hear, but that we tell them. And I thought, you know, this week I was praying about it and thinking, you know, we just can't be greedy, folks. We just can't be greedy about this. I mean, there's a certain sense, and we have to be honest with ourselves. We think, well, at least we're saved. You know, and everybody else, we want to get them saved, but we're saved. And there's a certain amount of relaxation in that, and which is, I think, where God wants us to feel. But I want us to continue to look at our mission as a church, because nothing clearer than the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 and 20. And I just want to read those two verses. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, we here at Harvest, the ministry of reconciliation. 20. Now then, we are ambassadors. We are official representatives for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, we beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled, be resolved, be reunited with God. In other words, we're saying, we beg you to come back to God. And you might remember that we are responsible for evangelism as ambassadors, God's spokesmen. That's pretty clear, isn't it? In fact, I think, I don't know if I told this group about the a guy I'm counseling that's learning to preach, and I told him, well, you speak for God when you get up to preach. And he goes, well, I can't do that. Do you remember me telling you about that? Okay. And he said he can't. Well, this week I met with him, and he said, okay, I want to talk about that again. He says, what scripture do you have? So where do you think I went? We are ambassadors for Christ. And he looked at that, and he said, okay, I got it. You know, one week after we read and we hear and we think about this ministry of reconciliation and our ambassadorship, it is like a bucket with water in it with holes. And it's common. Because the last thing that Satan wants us to do is to remember our mission, right? Okay, you guys. I'm going to, now, if you guys don't get involved with me in this sermon, I'm going to bring my thing down and I'm going to set it right here, right by Bob here, and I'm going to preach to you right here, okay? I'm warning you. Okay. All right. You've been warned. All right. Yeah. Can you go to the next slide for me? There it is. Isn't that really what happens to our vision? And, you know, our mission leaks, and God says we're ambassadors, and that we are to tell others about Christ, and the problem is, it seems during the week to leak out, because a lot of it, we decide on emotion, and emotion just doesn't last, does it? It really is our commitment to Jesus Christ. Are we going to do what he told us to do, or aren't we? And so this week I realized I was wanting to move on in the passage. I thought, no, wait a minute. This is all going to leak out to the point that we will get to November 2nd and 3rd. And there won't be any visitors if we don't keep talking about this until every one of us in our heart have made that commitment to Jesus Christ that we will speak forth his word to the unsaved. Is that a little frightening? Okay. So that's why I put my name up on the top of that list, and I'm going to pray for me for courage, and you need to do the same thing, don't you? Need to pray for courage. Okay. And really, one of the least courageous, I don't know how to say this exactly, but one of the easiest ways we could do this is you're going to hand out those tickets, and you're going to hand it to a neighbor or the friend and just say, look, we're having this showing of this this great video, that maybe probably Billy Graham's last crusade, because he's 94 and a half. And I saw him yesterday on the internet, and he's still talking. His voice is kind of shaky, and he's sitting at home in a chair petting his dog, but he's still there. And he says, "Man, I just am praying that in November that thousands and thousands of people will come to Jesus Christ." Man, wouldn't you like to be, if you're 94 and a half, wouldn't you like to still have that drive? And he still has that drive to see thousands and millions. And I have a video that we couldn't show today. I'm going to show it next week, but it talks about how it's already gone to 22 nations, and there's already at least 10 million people saved through that. And they're thinking that we're going to have 10 to 20 million at least in the United States come to know Jesus Christ. Do you think that'll have an impact on our society? Woo-hoo. Yeah, that's a percentage. All right, so I want to talk about Jesus today and his look at this whole thing, because it's so close to what Paul's saying that I thought it would be great for us to look. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 9 and John chapter 4, and where Jesus reminds his disciples of the very mission that we're talking about today. So I want to start with Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages in Galilee, he's in Galilee at this point, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. You know, one of the things I really like about Christ is his compassion. And you know, he looks at that, and he looks at these people, and he really realizes they're scattered without a shepherd. And it really, he's overcome by their lostness. Now, I think I made up another word we got to put in the dictionary. Their lostness. They don't have a savior. They don't have a relationship with God, and they're roaming around trying to figure out what makes them happy and that kind of thing. And Jesus looks at that, and he has compassion. You know, remember, do you remember when he was about to enter Jerusalem, and he looks out at Jerusalem, and he goes, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I would have gathered you as chicks under my wing." And then we get the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And he wept out of compassion for these people. And he's looking for that from us, that look at, we've got it made in the shade, folks. Saved by grace. We're going to spend eternity with him. And all these other people are out there and they have not that at all. And so he's moved to compassion. And many people see, we get to the place, and here's the problem with, and maybe Eddie can verify this, some of you that have the gift of evangelism, you get freaked out because you can't do it all. You just can't do it all. And so, as one person, he can reach so many people, I can reach so many people, or you can, but together we can reach a lot of people, amen? That's our joint mission. And that's the way it's going to work. And we can only do what we can do, but we can begin to pray for others around us, and we can begin to pray for ourselves that we'll stand up and invite. I want to go to verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Now listen, who is the Lord of the harvest in this? God. And so he says for us to pray to God to send laborers. I don't know how God does that. I tell you, I look at it and I try to figure out how that works in our lives, and I don't get it, other than he motivates hearts, and he asks us to pray for these laborers. And so, you know what? We need to do what he says. So the question for you and I is, who is he going to send out? Is it you? Me? I want to go over to John 4:31 and continue. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." Jesus had been healing and he'd been doing all these different things, and so the disciples were concerned. He didn't have anything to eat, so he says, in the meantime, the disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Now, what would be your first response as all of his disciples? Did somebody give him food and we just didn't see it? Right? Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work." His food is to do the will of God. And what's his will? What's his desire? Do you remember? "That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And second, Jesus is saying that the people are ready to receive the gospel. Do not say there is still 4 months and then comes the harvest. You know what we're saying here? Jesus hit it really the nail on the head. A lot of times we say, well, you know, in 2013, people just really aren't ready for the gospel. Have you heard that before? I have to have people say, you know, "I just don't think we can go door to door. I don't think we can do this, or I don't think we can do that, because people just aren't responsive to the gospel." Let me tell you something. I have never seen people so responsive as they are in 2013. Do you find the same thing? I feel like they've all run their gamut, and they've had all their toys, and they've done all that, and now they know they're empty. And they're looking. And when Billy Graham says they're looking for the truth, I think they are looking for the truth. And we have the truth, and we can give them the truth. And so he says, "And do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." That was 2,000 years ago, and we see the same thing in 2013. And God prepares their hearts and sends faithful people to witness to them, and they are ready, but he seems to be dependent on us praying. And he lets us have the fun of leading them to Christ. Have you ever had a friend come to Christ? Isn't it kind of fun to watch that? Isn't it kind of fun if all of a sudden you have common language? All of a sudden now you can talk to it, and you can talk about the Lord. You can talk about the Bible and reading it, and all of a sudden they hear it. Whereas before you would say that and they would totally reject. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray, beg the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You know what? I want to stop right here and pray. I want to pray right now for us. Are you with me on this? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. God, grant us the courage to stand up. You are telling us all to go out and invite, go out and share my son who died on the cross for them, that they might have eternal life. And Lord, you said to pray for harvest, so I pray for everybody in this room. Lord, I pray you will motivate them. I pray for me, that you will motivate me to go to my neighbors and for them to go to their neighbors and friends and just hand them a ticket and ask them to come and tell them we're showing this video, Lord. And I just pray that you'll give us the courage to do that. Send the laborers into the field because it's white already. It's ready to be taken out. And we ask these things in your glorious Son's name. Amen. And fourthly, whether we sow or reap souls in the harvest, all the efforts of other people pouring into people's lives, we will see people come to Christ. Now, I don't know if you remember, but when we just showed the video so you could see it, in the two services, the first and second service, we had 8 visitors that came, and all 8 raised their hand for salvation. All 8 of them. I want that. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we have them all together? And so the bottom line is, people have already been talked about, they've already heard, and now they come, and all of a sudden we are able to reap that harvest. Others have sown, and we reap. Listen to what he says in 36. And he who reaps receives wages, meaning we get to see them come to Christ, and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Listen, folks, some people are going to come November 2nd and 3rd, and they're going to watch that, and we're going to ask them if they want to trust Christ, and they're not going to do it because we are just sowing into their heart. You following me? And then others are going to come, and they've already been sown by Community Baptist or the Presbyterian Church or the next-door neighbor or whatever it might be. And when they come, they've already been sown, and we're going to reap that reward. And we're going to see them come to Jesus Christ. Isn't that going to be exciting? Man, I think it's going to be great. I can't wait. You know, a man came a few years back to me and said, Steve, can you show me how to become a Christian? And so I said, sure. Right? I mean, that was my reaction. I got my Bible and I sat down with him and we went through a salvation together, and he prayed with me and I saw his life instantly change. And all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I was not the first person in that process. I was probably the 7th or 8th or 9th, because he said, well, I talked to Pastor so-and-so a while back, and he told me something, and then I talked to somebody else, and then a friend of mine I talked to, he said, because, man, all you guys seem to have something that I just don't have in my life. And I got to reap. What a thrill that was to reap and bring him to Jesus Christ and spend some time in the Word with him. But here's the point. He had to ask me. He had to ask me if he could become a Christian. I wonder if somebody had said to him, would you like to come to a relationship with God 6 months earlier? And he might have said yes, because he was prepared. I remember on the same hand, and I want you to think about this, a man witnessing to me in California probably 2 weeks before I became a Christian. Most of you know, because you've heard my story a zillion times. And I was an atheist, and he began to witness to me, and I was quite perturbed. The reason I was perturbed is because I was getting close. You know, when a Christian gets to the place they're about ready to cave in, they get mad and they get agitated because they don't want to make that jump, because they know if they make that jump, their life's going to change and it's going to screw up everything they're doing. And that's the way I felt. And so he's going on and on and on. And finally I said, you know what? I am really not interested in your God at all. And I could see him kind of wilt. And he went into the house and he came back out and talked to me a few more minutes and went back in. And today, if that guy's still alive, he thinks, if he remembers that incident, he'll say, well, there's one guy that just didn't listen. Oh, yeah, I trusted Christ 2 weeks later. And so when somebody is acting a little abrupt or a little hard, I'm telling you, if they really don't think about God, what's the problem? It's when they're angry or they're resistant or that kind of thing, they're close. And those are the people we want to give the tickets to. Those are the people we want to invite because somebody's sown in their life. It is getting to critical mass with them. Right? Amen? Are you following me or are you asleep? Okay. All right. You can go to your neighbor and say this. Do you want to come and watch Billy Graham's last crusade? He's 94 and a half years old and he may not make it for another crusade. Would you come with me and watch him on video and listen to him talk and then I'll take you out to lunch? Really, is it that hard? Do you ever think about going to church? How many people have told you, I know this is true because they tell me, how many people have told you, oh, you go to Harvest Fellowship, that's a nice looking church. I'd really like to look at that sometime. Have they ever said that to you? Yeah, I've had them say it over and over and over. Yeah, I've been meaning to come over there. Well, when somebody says that, you go to them and say, you know what? In fact, I have a next door neighbor that told me that. And I'm going to go over and say, you know, I've been thinking about back when we had that conversation and you really said you thought the church was pretty and you'd like to come. Well, now I would like to invite you. We're going to have a video on Billy Graham and I'd really like you to come. And then afterwards, Debbie and I are going to take you out to lunch. Not hard, is it? Do you ever think about spiritual things? That's not a hard question. You know, we go to that church out on Highway 7, you know, the one that kind of looks like a ski lodge? Would you like to come and look at it and I'll buy you a latte? Or a mocha, if you like the sweet stuff. Do you ever think about eternity? What do you think about eternity? My fat pastor's a funny guy. You want to hear him come and crack jokes? Well, you can strike that one off. Would you like to come and find peace? We're having an open house, and so a lot of people in the community have talked about wanting to come in. Would you like to join us? We actually have a movie we're going to watch. You're Catholic? Do you realize that we just had, our pastor just asked the people, and over 50% of the people on both Sunday services that had a Catholic background, a majority of the people raised their hand. So you'll be in fine company if you're Catholic. Are there some problems in your life that you need to deal with? Why don't you come to church with me? Jesus says, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm just going to ask you a direct question. Will you be that laborer? Will you be the one that will go across and hand the ticket to them and put it in their hands and ask them to come on November 2nd or 3rd? Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, my mind goes to Isaiah 6, where Isaiah is standing and he's seeing a vision of you in the temple, and your robe fills the temple, and it quakes, and there's thunder, and there's angels, and all that kind of thing. And then, Lord, you ask Isaiah, you make this statement, who shall I send? Who will go out for us? In Isaiah's immediate response was, here am I, send me. And Lord, that's our same cry this morning. May your Holy Spirit work in us so that we are just like Isaiah and we say, here I am, send me. I'll do it. I'll take those tickets. I'll talk to people. I'll invite them to church. Lord, we just pray that you give us the courage to do that. We pray that the opportunity shows up so the people come out on their lawn or whatever it may be so that it's not hard to do. And Lord, I pray that come November, the first week of November, that we will gather hundreds and hundreds of people that don't know your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we might reap the harvest. and get those wages, Lord, like you've said, that we might be able to reap what other people have sown, and they might come to peace with you. Lord, we ask this. While our heads are still bowed, you might have come this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior. You don't have a relationship with God. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and we've fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if I'm talking to you this morning, my friend, and you want to ask God to come into your life, you want to have peace with him, just pray along with me. I'm going to pray a little prayer helping you through. You just pray along with me, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that verse when it said that Jesus rose from the dead. And Lord, I believe that he rose from the dead for me as well. So come into my life and save me today. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it, will you raise your hand up, put it down, let God know you meant business today. Today's the day that you're going to give him your heart and surrender your life. Just raise your hand up and put it back down. Father, I pray this morning that everybody here knows you as Savior, that they've given in their lives to you and surrendered to you. And Lord, because of that, we are all ambassadors. And Lord, help us to operate as ambassadors rather than scared citizens. Give us the boldness. You said you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, help us to stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit and invite and talk and share Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.